I guess I should say at the outset, Adam, that it's an unusual thing for any television program to do, to have a double act, as it were, on the reporting team. But David was there and got shot at, as you might recall, at the time of the violence when it first started a few months ago. And John Martinkus, of course, is regarded as something of an East Timorese wizard. So we got them both there. David, who feels he was pretty close to losing his life when he got caught in the crossfire up there. And John, who knows a place like the back of his hand, we thought were the blokes to send to try and find out the answer to the question you ask, who was behind the coup, or indeed, even more basically, was it a coup? I mean, what everybody is convinced of is that there's far more to what went on in East Timor than meets the eye. That whoever was behind it, whether it was the army, whether it was police renegades, whether it was Washington, whether it was Canberra, or a combination of all of those, somebody definitely wanted Mari Alkatiri out of the prime ministerial role. Was it Zenana Guzmão? Was it Jose Ramos Horta? I mean, all of those questions need to be asked. And now that the dust has more or less settled to some extent, at least in East Timor, I think those questions need to be asked. And we think we've got pretty close to, if not answering them, pointing out what questions remain unanswered.
What is the official word out of East Timor with these rebel groups? We've got Alfredo Renato, the rebel leader, and the new PM in July, Jose Ramos Horta. So what's the official line?
Well, the official line is that you're almost like an uprising of a totally non-existent public support. Alkatiri had to go. So the interesting thing about Alkatiri politically is that he's unacceptable to the conservative element in East Timorese politics. He'd be unacceptable to Canberra. He'd be unacceptable to Washington. He is, after all, a Mozambique-trained crypto-Marxist, to say the least. In some American eyes, and American neocon eyes, you'd have to regard him as a dangerous small-c communist. And not regarded as a kind of bloke with close connections with Cuba, you know, Cuban doctors training East Timorese people, etc. Not the sort of bloke that Washington and Canberra, given their current political priorities, would see as the sort of guy to be having his hand on the tiller where that amazing resource of gas from the shelf is concerned. So there are a lot of cards stacked against Alkatiri. And I think all of those things have to be considered as possibility. The official line is it was just a groundswell of public opinion that broke out into violence, which had to stop. And he was, as a result of a media, not campaign, but a series of media stories culminating in a Four Corners piece, he was the guy that had to go. Pressure was enormous from Australia. It was enormous from within his own country. And he's gone. He, of course, denies that he did anything untoward. He denies having his own private death squads running around killing his enemies. There are even suggestions that that was a setup, that the so-called death squads were there to make him look bad. You had army fighting army, you had army fighting police, you had police fighting police, you had Renato, who is Duntroon trained, in the middle of it all, still unscathed, even though he was the guy that was firing the shots when David O'Shea was involved in that skirmish. So it's a hell of a mess with a lot of questions unanswered. And what John and David have tried to do is, if not get to the bottom of it, scrape well below the surface to indicate that it would be very, very remiss of anybody, Alexander Downer, John Howard, anybody else, to say that the situation in East Timor is resolved.
Also on the program, you have Iran's first woman vice president, Musima Abtikar.
Yep. Interestingly enough, I met her recently in Brisbane when I interviewed Mikhail Gorbachev. She was there. I went to her press conference. We were immensely impressed by her willingness to answer questions about just about anything, including what's it feel like to be a member of the so-called Axis of Evil. So with Iran very much on the agenda, on the radar at the moment, where Israeli-Lebanese problem is concerned, where the Middle East and the Gulf generally are concerned, with the Americans and the Israelis saying that this is all to do with the Iranians trying to get at Israel through Syria and Hezbollah, we thought it would be an absolutely right time to talk to somebody like her, who is a senior member of the Iranian government. And also, let's see for her what her reaction is to some of the amazingly outrageous things that are anti-Israeli, anti-Jewish comments made by her president.
Did you get a feeling if she was on side with the more conservative elements of the Iranian power or more of the extreme end?
Good point. Good question. I got the impression that she's a very cagey, very crafty politician. I would say that we're, you know, to have risen as high as she had in the Iranian government suggests that she can't be too far offside with the president and his forces. But on the other hand, because she's a woman in Iran, you'd have to say that, you know, she's a progressive on some social issues and women's issues at the very least. I'm not sure, which is one of the things I want to talk to her about. Where does she stand? What is there? Is there, for instance, a spectrum of political opinion and a spectrum of religious extremism, from religious extremism to moderatism in Iran? For instance, I'd like to talk to her about the fact that even though Tehran is regarded as the sponsor of Hezbollah via Syria, whether or not there's any truth in what we hear, that there are a lot of people in Iran at the moment who are not too pleased at the idea of being called part of the axis of evil, who don't like the idea of their money being spent and their weapons being, you know, lent for a protracted length of time, never to be returned to the likes of Hezbollah. They feel that their association with Hezbollah, for instance, has been bad for the country. So it's just a wonderful opportunity to talk to somebody like this who we don't normally get to talk to.